Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Bringing you the best news and views.
You're with Dean Beck.
Joy 94.9.
In July of this year, Victoria's state government appointed a Sexuality and Gender Commissioner, Rowena Allen. Rowena gave a presentation at the conclusion of the VGLRL AGM just a week or so ago, and this is that presentation.
This is really the first job where the personal and professional have really collided for me. And in my career, I suppose I've always seen my roles as a bit more of a vocation than just a 9-to-5 kind of job. The lesbian mafia in Melbourne have sort of questioned me about why do I have to be so public about my private life. The answer I've come back with is I'm trying to do the 80-20 rule where, you know, 20% is within the LGBTI communities and 80% is in with mainstream. And to change hearts and minds, you know that we have to tell our own stories so often. And so, you know, my job is not like, you know, the health services commissioner or the commissioner for taxis. It is about changing those attitudes and those perceptions and doing that education and making people feel comfortable. And to do that, you have to be, well, I believe, the best way and the quickest way is to be vulnerable. So that was a bit of a challenge when I hooked up with an introvert partner, but she's come around. she did a little story. She's not here, and I know you're taping this, but hopefully she won't see it. When it did go live, it was pretty awesome, and Facebook went off, as you can imagine, and poor Kay, you went down to the shops to get milk in Violet Town, and then after that experience, didn't actually come out of the house for 2 days. It was a bit overwhelming, but you know, she's very supportive because she knows that this is something that I've always dreamt about, and it's here. It's a bit like I keep quoting this. I keep quoting Mark Twain. It's like there's two amazing days in your life: the day you're born and the day you realise why. And for me, this is how this role feels. So the advocacy I've done started in the Uniting Church. And around ordination for gay and lesbian people, and that's where I learned a lot of my leadership roles. And I was fortunate to go overseas and do some work for the National Council of Churches and Christian Conference of Asia, and that's where they challenged me on rural young people. And so, as a young whippersnapper of the age of 20, I came back to Melbourne and took a job in the country. So I was out there for a long time, and certainly it still live in Violet Town. And it's not working out of Violet Town, being a statewide commissioner, just by the way. But anyway, it's certainly what I said to the minister, that I wasn't going to make this position metrocentric. And, you know, as of next year, we'll have the Say No to Homophobia or Can Homophobia or whatever we're going to call it, road trip around rural Victoria. So talk to me later if you want to come hook on your caravan and be part of that. I've been part of the 3 minister advisory committees because I've always believed in going upstream and seeing, you know, being part of the solution. And seeing who's pushing them in rather than just pulling them out downstream. And that's been really important to me as well. I've had fantastic opportunities in that advocacy space to be able to work with the previous federal government on chairing or co-chairing with the Department of Human Services, their national working party on LGBTI. When we were accepted or recognised through Centrelink, there was actually behind the scenes a truckload of work to do. You can believe there's 40,000 staff across Australia that we needed to develop training packages for and work. I can still remember being so excited. I mean, I wasn't even getting a Centrelink benefit, but I rang up Centrelink to come out anyway because it was, you know, this poor woman from Western Australia goes, "Wow, really? That's so exciting." So it is exciting. It is the first time in Victoria we've had a Minister for Equality, a Commissioner for Equality, and I'm sitting in great company here with members of the task force, a whole of government task force. And the previous 3 Minister Advisory Committees, I think, had their own strengths and weaknesses. The first one, I like to remind people, sat in the back of Food and Hygiene in Department of Human Services in a dark corner. The second one was a hybrid, people might remember, between department directors and community members, and the third was so large it was like a forum, and all the really structural work happened in working parties. And I think what we've actually designed now is the best of those 3. We've got a whole of government task force which is made up of, you know, the highest level, that's practical, the deputy secretary level and community members, chaired by the minister and Brenda Appleton. And then we've got two working parties, the Health and Human Services Working Party, which is co-chaired by Dr. Ruth McNair, and the Parliamentary Secretary, Marianne Thomas, Parliamentary Secretary for Health, and the Justice Working Party, chaired by Anna Brown there, and also Harriet Ching, an Upper House member, and also she's the chair of the Parliamentary LGBTI Friends Committee. So, you know, it's a really a hybrid model. It does throw the government a little bit off balance when you do these things to them, a bit out of the box, which I love doing. I love being in DPC and doing that and saying, well, we haven't done it before, but I know we can do it. I had 10 minutes with the secretaries yesterday of all the government departments, you know, 8:20 to 8:30, in and out. And I can talk faster than this, let me tell you. But it is a race. I can tell you it's a race now between departments to be more LGBTI friendly. It's extraordinary. It is. So I gave them a checklist, you know, with little boxes and, you know, enough room between the lines to make little notes and they could go back to the office and give it to someone for action. And, you know, I said, make sure that you've got a pride network within your department. Make sure that you've signed up to Pride and Diversity. Fund the flag so we can walk behind it in Pride March. Come to the Christmas drinks, you know, and they're ticking madly and scribbling and, you know, they're quite signed up. So it is amazing to be in a government and, you know, you do have to pinch yourself, really. There has not been a door shut in my face. It's been amazing. My philosophy is with these different groups is people said, oh, how many have you got in your team? And I kept saying, well, I actually only want a small team. And the reason I want a small team is because I want to embed social change. I actually want to work with the Office for Aboriginal Affairs and get them to do the work in their LGBTI space for Aboriginal people. I'm working with the Office for Disability so that they co-host with me a forum on International Disability Day for LGBTI community members with disability and so on. Doing the same in the multicultural community and most recently of yesterday doing it with Sport and Rec around transgender and around the Rural Roadshow. So there's lots of things happening in that space. Law reform, you're probably really all over. Adoption's halfway there, you can say that. Got my fingers crossed. The Relationships Act and birth certificates. We're about to start a process under the fearless leadership of Anna Brown and the Justice Working Group about how we do that consultation and how we get that right. Health and Human Services, when we ask them to, you know, put their priority lists, I think, you know, we're up to 3 pages or something. So we will have to prioritise the work that we do, but we're getting through it as quickly as we can, I think, in the most efficient way. And people tell me that we're doing it in government terms. This is actually quite fast. And, of course, the authorising environment, I've talked about this a bit, but when you've got a Premier that is tweeting about Gaby Baby and trying to, you know, one-up New South Wales, it's amazing. And then you get to host Gaby Baby in the Treasury Theatreette for all the Victorian Public Service and have it absolutely packed out because the Premier has said, you know, you need to go and see this movie. So it's secretaries, but it's also the whole VPS. You know, and these are the people that are writing the policy every day, trying to get them to understand why rainbow families are really important. Of course, they funded the complete rollout of the Safer School Coalition, which is fantastic. It's still voluntary, and you know, we need to be working with every school, and particularly, again, regional and rural schools across Victoria to make sure that we give them every opportunity to sign up. And, of course, my vision, as it is the Premier's and the Minister's, is to see every school, whether it be independent or public school, being part of the Safer School Coalition. The task force in its first meeting agreed to set up a education reference committee, which I'll chair, which will meet a couple of times a year, because there are still some obvious issues around the rollout of the Safer Schools initiative, but also around trans and gender diverse young people and toilets and a few of those practical things. I've been joking for a while now, I'm going to be known as the Commissioner for Toilets. There's going to be a toilet committee, apparently. We're going to have a toilet committee where we actually work with local government, particularly around best practice for local government. But and the local government minister has agreed to write the forward, and so, you know, a joint forward with me on that, which is fantastic. But, you know, it's still a big issue, and I keep saying we've still got kids crossing their legs in school, or even worse, school refusing because of the plain issue, not just misgendering in school, but in public toilets and that issue. And they said to me I went to a school the other day, and one of them said, oh, hey, Ro, you know, I figured out how to do this. You go into class and then you make an excuse and you go to the toilet. And I said, how much school class have you missed all the time? And, oh, we miss, you know, 20 minutes. But that's the way they've managed their own way to be able to go to school. So crazy. I think it's really important that I work in corporate, and that's in the 80% space. So I'm working with Australia Post and other corporates about doing a full management leadership diversity immersion program. the Pride Centre. I don't do announceables, but I've got one. Usually the minister, I leave law reform issues and announceables to the minister, but tonight I can tell you that I've come away today with $50,000 to work with PwC to look at the development of a Pride Centre, and I'm happy to have a chat a bit more about that. See, that's why the minister doesn't let me do announceables, because you get claps for announceables, you know. Crazy. And the other look, the other thing is that the position will be evaluated in 18 months. You know, I've started to really see, not the value of me necessarily in the position, but the value of the position. Too many experiences, but one in 3 months, two, I'll just tell you two that have stuck in my brain. As much as it's been fun hobnobbing at Government House, one of the best nights was at Outblack, if you ever get a chance to go, which is the Aboriginal Pride drag show, and it was the 20th year anniversary. And I was sitting on the front table with Arnie Dyker from the Wurundjeri, and, you know, the fellas would get up and do the show and then come down and acknowledge Arnie and then come over to me and say, wow, we've got a commissioner and you're here. And that's all I had to do. I didn't have to speak. I didn't have to do anything. I had to acknowledge my hand in the air when I arrived and they acknowledged me and just be there. And there wasn't a dry eye amongst all those people, all me, and I did say to Arnie, look, I think we're saving lives tonight, and she said, yeah, I think we are. And so that's one of the stories. The other one is I get a lot of letters and emails from people, and this beautiful, beautiful email from a young woman in Horsham who said, dear Commissioner, all my friends that are gay leave town and we have no support services here, can you help us, was the guts of the letter. And I sat there and I went, you know, I probably can. So with the power of the word commissioner, I made three phone calls, and now there's a support group in Horsham. And they're hosting Holding the Man, and they're going to be a spot for probably one of our first stops for the road show. And they've got an auspice, an organisation, and they're putting a whole Pride diversity plan for the Wimmera together. And I think, wow, sometimes it just needs that, as I said before, that authorising environment, that kick in the arm, that, come on, we can do this. And people have taken the reins and they're really running with it. Sport, we're trying to get the AFL Pride game up and going next year with St Kilda. So watch this space. I'm shooting for Kylie. If we get, you know, like if we get the Pride game, it'll be a Saturday night. Yeah, that's a clap. I'm putting it out there because, you know, I do believe you put it out into the universe and it's hard to come back from there. It's like, so if anybody knows Kylie, I don't, but Deborah Cheatham, a fantastic woman in our community, said she won't sing the national anthem, but she'll write a piece for me and sing that. So I said, fantastic. Multicultural, I've talked about a bit, but I think this is going to be next year's real focus. And the power in this is when the multicultural and faith-based communities ask me into their space and they're doing their own work, as the Jewish community has done. And I'm working with the Mainstream Centre for Multicultural Youth and the Australian Council of LGBTI Multicultural Council. So that's really important work. The other thing I'm starting is working with the universities and the vice-chancellors. We need to actually, we're not going to have gender centres all over Victoria. What we need to be doing is thinking long-term about producing social workers, welfare workers, psychologists that are LGBT fit and ready and fit for purpose. And that's not about 1 hour module in a 4-year course. That's about getting our stories and our families in all the case studies. So I'll be working with the people that write the curriculum and getting that going as well. Domestic violence, and this is a tricky area. I'm actually meeting with Rosie Batty tomorrow and 200 of her other mates. But I've got a sidebar meeting with her afterwards because, as you know, this is major. This is the big thing in next year. And it's really difficult. It's really difficult because the line, and I agree with it 100%, 120% around gender inequality, and that's the line they're working with around the majority of family violence. But it does leave us outside that because it's not about gender inequality, it's about power and control. So how do we get our recommendations up? And I would say if people are expecting me to be sharing the airspace, we probably won't be. We're going to have to think of really innovative ways not to devalue the message of gender inequality while we still get our own needs met. So if you've got ideas about that, come and talk to me because it's in a very big and alive space. I'm meeting with the health minister, and I talked very seriously with her about PrEP, about the Pride Centre, but also about the Rainbow Tick accreditation for organisations that she funds, which is mega, mega millions, being LGBTI appropriate, and she's quite interested and we're exploring that. The governor, she was fantastic. Do you want a quick story about the governor? Everyone wants a quick story, okay. So I rang my mum and said, how are you going? She goes, where are you going? I said, oh, I'm going to Government House tomorrow. She goes, oh, what are you wearing? She goes, wear the red jacket, wear the red jacket. And I'm like, okay, Mum, I'll wear the red jacket. So I wear the red jacket. And so I get out, arrive, and you get out of the car, and the aide opens the door. It's all just another world. And the aide goes, oh, wow, what a great jacket. The governor will love that jacket. She loves colour. It's fantastic. And I said, oh, my mother said, well, I should wear this jacket. I don't know why I said that. So yeah, you go in, you sign the book and everything else, and you go in the most beautiful room with a fire roaring and everything else, and the governor goes, oh, hi, Ro, how are you going? Nice to see you. Great jacket. And the aide said, yeah, mother told her to wear it. And I was like, oh. So at the end of the meeting, the governor says, oh, we should take a photo for your mum. So there it is. Hilarious. So what's the real story there? The real story there is I had this fantastic conversation with her about whether she could march with me in Pride. At that point, her husband came in, barged in by accident, was introduced and then hooked up a chair and got into as well. He thought they should march. She thought they shouldn't. And I think she won. And I was staying way out of it. But, you know, she said it'll be more about whether the governor should have marched or not, Ro. It won't be, you know, it'll get diluted. But what I want to do is help you with the AFL, because she used to be an AFL commissioner, and she wants to open Government House to have an LGBTI function. And she said, I've gone through the books, there's been nothing other than World AIDS Day, but there's been nothing specifically LGBTI ever done at Government House. So, yeah, no pressure, but I've got to... She said, now, hang on, she said, something within the gravitas of the House, whatever that means, we can have an event, and that's really exciting, so watch this space. An event including a dinner, so that'd be really good. I told you I've been talking to corporates and also working with the Chief of Police. Fantastic. I mean, we are really in good hands. He's agreed to evaluate the GLOW program and come on the road tour. He was in the Secretary's meeting yesterday, and he was the first one to put up his hand and say, we're in for the road show. So he's quite a quiet guy, quite introverted really, but he can certainly warm up around the issues of injustice. So the Chief Commissioner's in as well. He's also organised Commissioner get-togethers lunch, which is fantastic. And he's got this great, if you've ever been to the Early Leadership Centre out in Toorak that they own, the police own. And so all the commissioners get together and have lunch out there. And he said that I can use the building and for my interfaith meeting I want to have, and as long as I have the police chaplain with me, we can, you know. So people are really being very open about sharing their resources, because that's one of my superpowers. I said to the secretaries yesterday, I can get other people to spend their money on my agenda and get to use their toys and their buildings, and it's fantastic. The media has been absolutely wonderful, even Neil Mitchell and Red Simons. And, you know, I think the department was really, you know, overwhelmed by how much interest there is in all the issues. Follow me on Twitter. If I get to 500, the department are going to take me out, or the team are going to take me out for a drink. I'm up to 400 and something. Social media does scare me a little still. You know, we need a calendar of events, purely for the commissioner's point of view, so we don't have clashing evening events that are launching, and I'm really happy to be here tonight.
That was Victoria's Commissioner for Sexuality and Gender, Rowena Allen, speaking following the AGM of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. Now, the Commissioner joins the co-convener of the lobby, Sean Mulcahy, in conversation. That entire package will be on Word for Word this coming Saturday at 12 noon. Don't miss it.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.